Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Derek Oliver. We want to just thank everyone for tuning in this evening on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say good evening with you. This is the D&K Bible Break. To all those that are tuned in on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/chaostalkwithDerekOliver, or if you're on the phone lines at 845-277-9094. We just want to say good evening to all those that's listening all over the place, to my new listeners over there in Germany and over in London. We just want to say what's up to everybody. Also, we want to send a special thank out to my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, and to all of our sponsors that are sponsoring the D&K, all of Chaos Talk Radio, all of the programs we have on the show. We also want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving this Thursday. Hopefully, you'll be safe with your families and you'll eat good on that day. With that being said, I want to bring my co-host on, Ms. Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Hey, good evening. Happy Monday.
Okay, I just want to do a mic check. Can you hear me fine?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, and my engineer is telling me we're good to go. So, again, we want to welcome everyone for tuning in to D&K Bible Break. Before we get started with the show tonight, before we get into what we're going to talk about tonight, I just hope everyone, again, I'm going to say it for the second time, from my family to yours, a happy, 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 happy Thanksgiving. And hopefully y'all will eat good and be safe. And with that being said, before I get started, Kay, anything you want to say?
Well, I'm just going to second what you said. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Also, I pray that you all reach out to somebody this week. Just let them know you're thinking about them. You know, we can't go to people in person due to a lot of the COVID situation that's going on. But reach out to somebody. Follow up with a phone call. Send them a text, something to show somebody that you care and that you're thinking of them. That's it.
All right. Well, we're going to jump right into it. Get right into what we're going to talk about today. I'm feeling myself, just so you know. So don't be texting me, wife, about what I'm going to be saying about what we're talking about today, because I just got some news. And what we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to open up with prayer and everything, but it's just by being Thanksgiving. I know a lot of people, because I was just on the phone with people in my hometown, and a lot of people struggling, and I just want our prayers to be with people who are struggling during this time. Now, I'm going to say this, because I said this a few months ago when the government was giving all these checks and everything. I said Christmas and Thanksgiving was going to come up, and y'all was going to be in a predicament. I hate to say I was right, but people are in a predicament because they didn't manage well way back then to come to these times now. Now y'all looking funny, like what we supposed to do. And when the government said they ain't got nothing else to give, you should have took what they gave you, a little money they gave you back in March or whenever it was, and, you know, put up at least a couple of dollars. But anyway, I'm not going to go there. And I'm not talking about the people that's in need of it. The people that was taking advantage of the system is what I'm talking about. But anyway, we're not going to go there tonight. We're going to get right into what we're going to talk about tonight. If y'all bow your heads, I'm going to open us up with prayer, and we're going to get right into it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you, Father God, for allowing us to wake up another day in your presence. And Father God, we just ask that you give us the words and the ability to teach whatever you would have us to teach. Give the listeners the ear to hear what you would have them to hear. And Father God, we ask that if there's anything in us that's not right, we ask for your forgiveness, Father God, for the things that we know we've done and the things that we may not know that we've done. We just ask for your forgiveness. And Father God, we just ask that you just continue to bless us, lead us, and guide us. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
All right, tonight we're going to talk about, what was our title, selfness?
Selfism.
And we're going to talk about this, but before I bring my wife on to get us really started, I want to talk about something briefly, about 3 minutes, and I promise you 3 minutes. In Matthew 14, I believe starting at the 13th verse, Jesus, it's the parable where Jesus feeds 5,000. And when you look at it and you break it down, a little boy there was with his lunch. Jesus went, grabbed the young man's lunch. He blessed it and gave it to the disciples to give to the people. And what was in the basket, Jesus blessed what was in the basket. People had to go sit down in 50 or to 100 in certain groups of people. And the multitude went and passed out the food that Jesus blessed. What I want to say, and I just thought about this, Jesus blessed what was in the basket, and he multiplied it to feed 5,000 plus women and children. And at the end of the parable, it's a great because he had 12 baskets left over. What I want to say is Jesus blessed it, and what was in it was 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's what he wanted in it. He blessed it, and it multiplied. What happens sometimes, some people, and Kay, I'm going to need your help in a minute, would have took the basket, and whatever Jesus put in it, they want to add to it or want to take away from it. And you can't do that, because that's what you want to do. A lot of preachers, a lot of bishops, a lot of people head of churches want to put their own in the basket that Jesus already blessed you with. You want to add your mix to it, and it doesn't work. And that's why a lot of people are messed up in the church, because you want to add something to the basket. And I'm talking to all the leaders, wanted to add something to it. And as you was passing out what God blessed you to have, and because you may not have liked it, you wanted to add your own little scribble in there. And instead of having catfish, you got some crawfish in there. You got some bluegill. Instead of having nice hot rolls, you just got stale bread in there because that's what you wanted to add to it. And the Bible said you can't add to it and you can't take away from it. And a lot of people, what we're going to talk about today, is people want to add, it's all about them. And we're going to get into this in a minute, but I thought that parable was a good parable to use for what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to keep referring to that as we talk, but I'm going to turn it over to my wife and let you go. I told you 3 minutes.
I was looking at that scripture that you just read, and if I can draw your attention to verse 18, and what I like about 18, it says, taking the 5 loaves.
You are not.
All right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It says, that's okay. It says, looking up to heaven. So we have this. This is Jesus. He took the 2 fish, the 5 loaves of bread. He looked up to heaven. He could have very well did everything on his own, but he knew to look to the creation, the creator. God is the creator. So he knew to look to the Creator. And a lot of times we look to ourselves when we do things. And within us, there is nothing good. We can't do anything on our own. So when we talk about selfism, the definition says concentration on one's own interest, self-centeredness, or self-absorption. Pretty much, it's all about me. Me, myself, and I. And when you look at yourself or you look to yourself for answers, you're missing the whole point of life. You cannot do anything on your own within yourself. And in this world that we live in, we're all taught everything you need is within you, and all you got to do is look within yourself. You can do all things within yourself. But they leave out the part that we can't do nothing without the Lord. And in that story here, Jesus is giving thanks unto God. He's blessing the food, and then God in turn multiplies what's in his hand. So if we can only look at doing things the way the Lord did things, we would be better off than looking at the way the world does things. And a lot of times we, as people in this world, we do look at the world when we should be looking at the Lord. So the belief that yourself, you yourself, some people believe that they're God. You know, I heard somebody tell me once at one time that they woke themselves up. The alarm clock didn't do it. They just woke up by themselves. And in their mind, they are thinking that they're their own God. They don't need God to do anything for them. They can do it all on their own. And a lot of the times in church, what I notice is we have a lot of this this motivational speaking that goes on. And with the motivational speakers, they call themselves pastors as well or bishops. With that, they are doing a lot of it's your self-improvement of yourself. Everything is about yourself when everything should be pointing towards God. And it's like we got away from pointing people to God, and we're pointing people to look within themselves for answers. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. So we got a lot of selfism going on during this day and age. Talk about, and
especially going this time, the time of year that we're living in, a lot of selfishness is going on just with the time of the holiday season coming up. Everybody want to do them.
Right, right. It's all about their agenda, what they got planned, what they feel, what's going to make them happy, what they desire. Is all about me, 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 me. We are very selfish. And instead of it being about me, 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 we should be looking to see what we can do for other people, especially not just because it's Thanksgiving time, but we should be doing this all year round. If you're a child of God, you shouldn't have to wait to Thanksgiving time to be thankful or to give to others or look outside of yourself. We should be doing that, period. And the reason that we don't do it is because with selfism, it's a lot of spiritual darkness. There's darkness there, and you know, light cannot dwell in the darkness. So when there's light, there has to be a change. And until we grasp that we need to come out of ourselves and stop looking to ourselves for answers, we're going to forever be lost.
And not only that, but at the time, and, you know, where we're living in a different time than we ever lived before. This is the first time we've ever, at least me, well, any time, especially in our lifetime, my 48 years of living, have I ever seen anything like this? And you would think from what I was taught, going to Bible college and you know, in school and everything, you know, to be Christ-like, do what he did, you know, give back to the people, serve the people. And now it's like it's hard to serve. We can't even serve God in a correct way because of tradition, because of the way it was done 5, 6, 7 years ago. And, you know, if the church isn't doing this, then we can't do it. And see, church starts at home. If you're not giving at home in your own at home, how can you even give into the church? And see, this is where I say I'm feeling something, because everyone always say church starts at home. If you're not giving in your own home, but you'll wait and give when the church gives, you're not giving what God's given you to give if you got to wait for the church to give it, if I'm making sense. And if I'm not making sense, I'm going to break it down in plain English in a minute, but I'm trying to be, I want to be politically correct because I got some new listeners. I don't want to show them, you know, the raw deal. I just want to be politically correct. But it starts at home. And if only reason I was doing what I was doing or giving when I was giving is because the church was doing it, that's part of what the church is supposed to do. You're just doing it. You're like, you're playing follow the leader. You're going to do because they're doing it. You're not doing it from the goodness of your heart, because if you're doing it from your heart, you'll be doing it at home. And then it will carry over to the church, if I'm making sense. And when Jesus, and I'm referring to when he fed the 5,000, when he blessed the two fishes and the two loaves, that's what was in there, is what he wanted. And what's in your house is what Jesus wants you to bless other people with, is what's in your house. Not the church house, not your mama's house, but what's in your house. Am I making sense?
Yeah, but, you know, the problem with that is people, they tend to not want to do anything outside of their house. They want to do everything for, it's just about me and mine. That's it, me and mine. I'm not doing nothing for nobody else. And that's the issue. It's, how can you be a child of God and you don't want to do nothing for nobody? That's selfish. And but people don't, they don't want to do anything for anybody. They want to be selfish. They want to just.
And that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we can team up with other people and give in their name's sake, but not in our name's sake. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of churches that's giving away food, a lot of organizations giving away food. We'll go down there and volunteer our time, and that's good. But yet, church starts at home. Are you giving at home? And see, that's the message I'm trying to bring. Are you giving at home? If you're not giving at home, I can easily go to any food bank, any church, and volunteer an hour, 2 hours, and give what they're giving and make myself feel like I've done something. But if you're not giving it in your own home, if you're not practicing that in your own home, to me, that's the same thing as what you're saying. It's all about you. You know, I love steak. You know, I buy steak all day, every chance I get. If I'm not willing to give that out to somebody else, because I want to save it for me, that's selfish. If I'm eating steak, everybody else, and I'm not saying that you know, I'm going to go out and buy everybody, and that's not what I'm saying. The parable, what I'm saying is, if that's my mold, if that's what I like, I'm not going to give someone something that I'm not going to. And that's what we do. We don't give. We don't serve. We only doing it because it's practice. It's just religious. For us to go for 2 hours on Thanksgiving, we're going to help the homeless. That's only 2 hours out of your day. If you're not doing that and you're not even helping the people that's hungry in your own family, it's all about you. It ain't got nothing to do with Christ. That's just my opinion. That's the way I look at it. That's just the way I see it. Go ahead.
A lot of times, even with that, people do things for show. If I'm doing things in front of my family and my family know, okay, come on now, you're not being authentic, you're not being real, then what am I gaining? What am I doing? Because you can be faking the funk, showing off in front of your family too.
Well, okay, now let me clear this up. I'm not talking about showboat. I'm talking about legit service. When you're doing legit service and you're not about you, it's not about showboating. Because people say I showboat, and I don't, I ain't got nothing to showboat. I've heard that before. But at the same time, when you're serving and you're doing what the Lord told you to do and you're doing it at home first, a lot of people ain't going to receive it because it's in your house. It's your family. But if you're doing it and it's consistently doing it, then, of course, you're going to always have the naysayers. But if you're doing it, what I'm saying is there's a lot of people who don't even want to give to their own because they're not being genuine. They're not being honest. And it ain't about what you give. The thing about it is they say church start at home. Charity starts at home. You got to be able to first do it in your house, do it in your family. And once you do it consistently, it becomes a routine. Yeah, you're going to all have naysayers regardless of what you do. It just comes with the territory of who you're serving. But when you do it at home and stop hiding behind tradition, it becomes more. It means more. It just becomes more. When you can bless somebody else, why would I bless somebody, and it doesn't matter who it is or what it is, why would I bless somebody with something that I'm not going to use or is beneath me? I wouldn't even want it. That's not right. And you got a lot of people at this time will go to these places and get this stuff and try to just pass it on. Oh, but this is what I did, making it seem like they're doing all this work and they're really not doing nothing. They're hiding behind something else. But when a true saint of God, someone that's really serving the Lord, when they give, you can feel when they give it to someone that needs it. You can feel it. So it is like, I'm going to use to the phrase, if I was to go in my freezer and give someone some food, a lot of times people will go and get, what they don't want. I'm not going to eat no pork and beans because I don't eat them. So I can get out of the way. But would I be able to give one of my steaks away? That's the question. And I don't have a problem doing it because, like I said before, whatever the Lord blesses me with, I know I can get it back plus some. Charity starts at home, but everyone wants to be about self. Is I'm going to look out for just me and mine. Me and mine going to eat well. And ain't worried about nobody else. If you got that type of attitude, how can the Lord bless you when all you're thinking about is you and what you want and how you want it? But we want the blessings of the Lord, but we're not willing to bless the people he has surrounded around us to bless them with.
Amen. If I can draw your attention to Matthew 6:1, it says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And a lot of the times, people, they manipulate the situation. And what they do, they manipulate the situation so that way the eyes will be off of what they're doing and the eyes will be on them. And when you have a person that's the bishop said the other day, you have the puppet strings. So if you have somebody that has the puppet strings and you're just doing stuff in front of people just to show, it's not going to work. Why would I give you hot dogs and I'm over here eating steak? No, we can eat steak together. I'm going to give my best. I'm not going to give you scraps and leftovers. That's not what we do. But a lot of the times when people are selfish, they want to hoard things for themselves. They don't want to give to other people. They don't want to give their time. They don't want to give their service. And when they do, they want the spotlight to be on them. They want to manipulate the situation. A lot of the times, if you want to go a little bit further, if you look at your prayer life, if your prayers are all about what you want, what you need, and you rarely pray for anybody else, then I would say that you're dealing in a little bit of selfism. It's not about you. It's not about the man in the mirror. It's about what God has called you to do, and everything that you should do unto him. And if I can go back to so when we were talking about selfism, that's kind of where I wanted to go in reference to where it all began. Like right now, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's going on, this is not new. All this selfish stuff that's going on, it's not new. If you go back to Genesis 3 and 5, the serpent enticed Eve with words of self-exaltation. So you say, how did he do that? He said, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God. The serpent was playing Eve, letting her know, this is pretty much where selfism started right here. If you do that, you know, just know that your eyes are going to be open. And that allowed her to look within herself, when that wasn't the way we were designed. That's not the way God created us. He created us to seek him, not ourselves. So in the beginning, this happened. And now this is 2020. It's still happening. It's going to continue to happen. It's going to continue to get worse, because I believe there's a scripture that says men being lovers of themselves. I can't remember where it is, but everybody loves, I mean, you're supposed to love yourself, but not to the point where you're all the beginning and the end of everything. When you do that, you're getting outside of what God designed you to be.
I don't know. Go ahead, Hudson.
Right. No, you're fine. I want to stay on the track of that, because, you know, we live in a me world now. And I don't want to get off track on that. I just wanted to let people understand that, you know, the blessings come from the Lord. You can't take from it, and you can't add to it, and you can't take away from it. It is what it is. And a lot of people, going back to Eve, it's all about her. It was about her. And if you allow the right people get in your ear, it will be about you. Right now you have, and you can start with the kids to the adults and so forth. It's all about how you're perceived on social media. Can I get a like? Do people like me? I got the best clothes. It's all about presentation. And when you get into that, you start losing focus on why you was put here on earth, what you're supposed to do, who you're supposed to be serving, whose will should be done, yours or the Lord's will. And the majority of the people you talk to is about their will. This is the way I want this. This is the way I want that. It has nothing to do with the way that the Lord wants things. Now, when you go to churches, it's not about, is a church preaching the true word of God? Is the church going to let you do what you want to do and feel comfortable in doing? And long as the preacher isn't preaching certain things, you're cool with it, because it's about you. But where we lose focus, just like Eve did, she lost focus. We lose focus, and when it comes to our growth, spiritual growth, because we all struggle somewhere as a person, and when I say struggle, we all got things we need to grow in. But selfishness is one of the main ones that we get caught up in, because it's about us. Let the pastor preach something you don't like. I guarantee you, you can find every fault about him. He preach it on Sunday. On Tuesday, you got all the negative energy you need to doubt his leadership, because he's preaching the truth, and it don't line up with you and what you want to be about. And that's what I said. When the Lord blessed the basket, he did it. All he told disciples to do was pass it out. Don't take from it. Pass it out. What we do when we get the word, we want to make it fit our own selfishness, our own way. And that's the mistake. And this is just a little side note, shout out to all my preachers out there that's preaching, that's trying to preach. If God called you to preach and he called you to teach or whatever, and you're not doing it because some man telling you you can only do it once a year, there's a problem there. There's a problem that, A, you need to be doing what God has called you to do, and can't no man tell you when you can and should not preach if God called you to do it. You're just not taking the time because you've been trained to do exactly what they told you to do. Not what God told you to do, but what man told you to do. If I was still listening to what man was telling me to do, I wouldn't be where I am today in the Lord, because I would still be following instructions of a man, not the Lord. And when you listen to the Lord, he'll take you in different directions. But this is what we want. We want to find a booming church who got good music and good preaching. And long as I can sin and he don't preach on my sin, I'm good, if that makes sense.
A lot of the times when you were talking about likes and views and stuff, it's like people crave attention, but they reject conviction. So you want all the likes and
like
views.
That.
You want to be politically correct. You don't want to step on anybody's toes. You don't want to talk about anybody's sin because you know him. You don't want to talk about nobody's sin. You don't want to be corrected. You don't want to be told that you're out of order, and you don't want anybody telling you that God ain't pleased with what you're doing. And a lot of the times, just knowing some situations, even with the preachers, you're monitoring what you're preaching so you don't offend anybody. We gotta stick to what the word says. If it's gonna cut, let it cut. The Lord knows what he's doing. Speak the word. Don't let nobody's pockets tell you what to say and how to say it if it's coming from the word. Preach it and let it go. Let the chips fall where they lay, and whoever needs to hear it will hear it. And whoever needs to be convicted will be convicted. So we don't need to be worrying about the attention of who likes us and who don't like us. And, you know, with a lot of the preaching that's going on online nowadays, it's about how many views you get. It's about how many people liking what you're saying. If they don't like it, if you don't get not one like, keep preaching what the Lord says. Don't worry about if nobody is liking you or viewing what you're saying. Keep going. Just keep going. Just make sure you speak in what the word says and not what self is saying or what your fellow man is telling you to preach about. Because, you know, I'm sure a lot of preachers, they preach and they have people in their congregation that has money coming in, and they don't want to say the wrong word because they don't want to upset those filling the church with the funds. You know what? God sees that. You're not hiding from him. So if the Lord is telling you to say something, say it. He know who needs to be in his house, and he know who needs to be corrected. So let the Lord do what he needs to do. And if I can go back to, I was kind of wanting to go into like that word is like so hard for me, but you know, when you idolize things, like we idolize ourselves, we worship ourselves within anything that comes between us and the one true God is out of order. If the money is coming between you and God, If your shorty coming between you and God, if your boo coming between you and God, that's out of order. Nothing should come before the Lord, and that includes yourself. If you're thinking you all that in a bag of chips and you coming before the Lord acting like you all, you know, your chest all puffed out, that's out of order. All of it is out of order. Go ahead.
You coming with it. There's so much I can go, and I really want to stay on topic. But you know, I'm just thinking about some things that were said to me, with people, church people, church leaders, not where I'm fellowshipping at, But the fact of the matter is, and I got people in Germany listening to me, thank you. People in London listening to me, thank you. But the question was, and it was raised, I believe it was yesterday or today, I can't remember. But it was funny to me because I ignored it. They said, well, Oliver, how are you in Germany? How we know how many people listening to you now? You don't talk about that. And I don't need to talk about how many people listening. If I got about two people, it is what it is. The Lord told me to stop focusing on numbers and just focus on the word. So I don't care about how many people listen. I don't have to broadcast that every week. It really doesn't matter how many people. If I got one, I'm good. But it's not about that. But see, people want to focus on self. And see, I don't want to be out there when I talk about numbers, I'm putting Derek's out there. Just how many numbers we got, because that's what I say. People will approve it. And now I'm getting in a place where the Lord don't want me to be in, because I don't have to prove anything. His word proves it. I don't have to prove nothing to nobody. We don't have to. If we live the life that God called us to live, we just keep living, and the Lord will keep blessing. And long as we're getting blessed by the Lord, we're good. If the preacher preaches something and it convicts me, this is just me. This is just Derek. Now, I'm happy because the Lord is still chastising me. And just like when you chastise your kid, you don't like it. You do it because you love them. So when we preach, and you don't hear a lot of people preaching about being chastised by the Lord. I love being chastised by the Lord because he's showing me my mistakes. He's showing me where I need to get better. He's showing me love. And what happens is the church is so far off from preaching the truth and about love, we want to preach what's convenient to people. You know, people shacking up. We talked about this long years ago when people would shack up and preachers don't preach about it no more because they main elder and the other person, they trying to get married, they shacking up doing it, but they don't want to say nothing because it's going to mess up the business aspect of it. When you're running the way the Lord would have you to run, the Lord will take care of the business aspect for you. I don't go out promoting anything. I just live my life. Stuff comes to me because I'm following what the Lord is telling me to do. Some of it is awesome. I can't explain it. But I'm not going to put my picture out there and say, look what Derek is doing. Because I know, you know as my wife, it's not me. It's the Lord. And when the Lord starts blessing you, you don't have time to try to prove to everyone the Lord is blessing you. Or every time I get chastised, you know, I'm going to say it because it is my show. When the bishop was preaching the last few weeks about vision, that touched me in a sense where it chastises me in some areas of my life. Now, he don't know that. He's just preaching what the Lord's preaching. That's between me and the Lord to get that right, if that makes sense. And I can't go to him and say, don't preach this no more because you're messing with what I'm trying. Then, you know, we can't do that. But a lot of people do that. A lot of people want the ice cream, cake, and candy and don't want to serve the Lord. And what I mean by that is it's all about them. And when you look at the preachers, it's all about the preachers. What kind of car they got, what kind of house they got, it's all about them. And that's why it's very important when you church starts at home. If I'm going to eat good, the gifts that I give are good. They're not no phony gifts. They're good gifts because the Lord has been good to me. And can no one say that I've given them a fake gift or a phony gift? Or when we helped them, it was phony. It was legit. It was genuine, and it comes from the heart. That's the difference. And when you say that, now I'm going to argue with some other Christians, oh, well, because we gave out pork and meat, but you don't eat pork and meat. I don't eat them. I don't buy them. And if I have some, I'll throw them away before I don't do it. Now, my wife eats some, kids, they eat. I don't. So I wouldn't
I don't
be
eat
giving
no
that to anyway. Well, you know what? Whatever that stuff we got in the cupboard, I don't mess with it. But at the same time, I wouldn't give it away to anybody either. And when I say this, the people that whoever the Lord lays on our heart to bless, and it ain't about me and Kay, so let's get that out of the way. Whoever you bless, it ought to be a blessing from your heart, not out of inconvenience to you because you want to get rid of some stuff. Now, if you want to get rid of some stuff and bless someone, that's one thing. But if you really a child of God, when you give something to someone, it's going to be genuine. It's going to be from your heart. And that's really what we're trying to say. It's not about doing you. And I had to learn that the hard way. I'm just going to do me. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be the Mac in the back, and I ain't going to bother no one, and the Lord going to bless me, and I'm going to be, go to church, sit in the back, dress real nice, don't bother nobody, just go there and sit and don't do nothing. But the Lord didn't call me to do that. The Lord called me to do ministry, to serve. So when I serve, the same way he's serving me and blessing me, giving me what I like, giving me what I enjoy doing, it's only right for me to give that back to people who can receive it and can use it. And that's really what I'm saying. When we go out and give groceries and pass out stuff and give food out to people, a few weeks ago, and again, I'm not saying this to brag about what Brother Derek do. I was at the grocery store. I don't handle the money in the house. So the money I got in my pocket, that's Derek's money. I do what I want. That's my money. And, I had $23 in my pocket. And this is a true story. I was watching social media, and this is how the devil messes with you. And someone in my family bought a lottery ticket. I think they won $500. I got $23 in my pocket. And I'm riding around. And I go to the grocery store, and I'm thinking to myself, you should get you a lottery ticket. I got a couple dollars, but my attention was to a young man that had these kids. Remember I told you I had to pay for his groceries? And the man didn't have enough on his car. His car kept declining. So I asked the man, because he was holding the line, I said, how much is it? And he was like $22 short. So I said, here, don't take. I paid for it for him. Because that's what the Lord told me to do. But my mind was to go up there and get me some tickets. That was my mind. Now, I know you don't, please don't be emailing me, telling me there you, that it was a thought process. It didn't work out, and I was convicted of it, but the Lord had another job for me to do. So however I did the job for the Lord, that's what got me there. I paid for the man's groceries, and it was $22. I gave him $22, and I was good. I felt good doing it. I didn't want the man, I didn't want his money. He said he would offer to pay me back. I didn't want it. And it's just what I did. Now, I could have just been ignorant and just like, I'm not doing that for that man. And I know a lot of people have done that kind of stuff before. But when you're serving the Lord, you find yourself in those situations. You have to be unselfish to help people. To do what the Lord would do. That's what we have to do. And no matter how you get in that situation, how you help them, you just got to help them. And don't help them by making it seem like charity. Help them like you would want someone to help you. And that's really what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying, to be real and be transparent. I'm not perfect. But at the same token, I have my battles too. And when the Lord chastises you, it's a good thing because he's showing that he loves you and he wants you to be a better person.
Amen. My husband is really saying pretty much you got to let the Lord lead you. And a lot of times we do things in our flesh, and when you led by your flesh, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. That's according to John 3:6. And so when you're doing me, myself, and I, where can the spirit dwell? If it's all about you, where can the spirit dwell? How is the spirit welcome when you're just doing you? So there are so many people who have traded in
the truth for a lie. You know, we didn't create ourselves. We don't have the power to do any of this. We don't have the power to do anything. We don't have the power to... I was thinking, like, okay, you know how you take a deep breath. You can take a deep breath, but guess where that breath came from? It came from the Lord. You didn't give yourself that breath. I was trying to control my eyes and say blink, blink, blink. Our eyes naturally blink by themselves because guess what? That's how the Lord designed. He designed our eyes to do that. There's nothing you can do within yourself that's going to be fruitful. Think of yourself more highly than you ought. So you're not all that. You can humble yourself to reach out to somebody else. You can humble yourself to do stuff outside of yourself and let the Spirit lead you. Had you went out and got the lottery tickets or whatever, in my mind, I'm like, okay, that's just a waste of dollars. But at the end of the day, if you would have won, okay, well, thank you, Lord. So that's my flesh. But thank God you did what the Lord told you to do and blessed somebody else's family. Because that you just never know. You may be that person. I've been that person. I promise you, I've been that person that needed help. And somebody just brought groceries and they were at my door. So don't think that you more than and you've arrived and you may never find yourself in a situation where you won't need help. So while you have things going good and steady in your life, help somebody else. There is a
I just want to say this because I don't want to lose focus on what I'm saying because you know, I am a preacher, and people will be like, oh, you play. I don't do lottery tickets. I said, I'm just transparent because I'm human. And the flesh side of me, and my wife knows this better anyway, because I'll say some crazy stuff. But at the end of the day, the Lord always puts me in the right direction, going the right way. So when I'm not trying to defend myself or anything like that. I'm just trying to let people know we're human. We do make mistakes. Thoughts do come in our head, is what you do when you have that relationship with the Lord. If it was all about me, I would have ignored the mission that the Lord put me on. I was there for a reason. And the reason I was there was to help a young gentleman out, period. Now, how I got there and all of that and me telling the story really is irrelevant, but I wanted people to understand because I'm a preacher, I'm human, don't follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm coming at you through the Lord, then that's a good thing. And again, you know, my wife keeps telling me I'm getting off my topic. But when you serve the Lord, the biggest battle is going to be between yourself, with yourself. Because a lot of times we want to go left, and the Lord is trying to tell us to go right. And a lot of times we want to please ourselves because we've been hurt by other people, and we don't want to feel that hurt no more. So we're going to think about ourselves. Or I'm not helping the people at the church. They're a bunch of hypocrites because you're following a leader that's keep putting stuff in the basket that don't belong there, and you see it. And now you want to do away with the church because of what you're seeing, and now you want to be about you. Christ was never like that. Christ was never about being about himself, because he could have got off the cross anytime he wanted to. He said if he wanted to when he was talking to Pilate, I could have my father come down or at least angels. But he knew that we needed a savior. He could have done a lot, but he knew we needed a savior. So a lot of times when you start thinking about self, think about how Jesus didn't think about himself. He was thinking about you when what he went through on Calvary's cross. He wasn't thinking about going back to heaven. He was thinking about he had to take this pain so I wouldn't have to feel it. So when I do get chastised, when I start thinking about self, it's a good thing because it gets me right back in the line. We need to help other people and not just help them. We need to help them the way that we would want help, period. You quiet on me. Why, you all right over there?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, a lot of us is searching for meaning. Everybody is searching for meaning in this life. Everybody wants to know what their purpose is, what should I be doing, how I should be doing it. And we want to live a life of meaning, and we want to do things that have meaning. And at the end of the day, without Christ, life has no meaning. And there is no meaning to this life unless you're living the life, as you said, following Christ. And, you know, there's this thing going around about, you know, people being woke. Everybody want to be woke. But at the end of the day, until you totally surrender your life to Christ and live for Him, you won't never be woke. You're in a deep sleep. It's an illusion of life orchestrated by the enemy. You're still asleep. You're not going to be woke unless you totally surrender your life to Christ. And when you don't have Christ, you have no power over sin, Satan, and you don't truly have life itself. 1 John 15:4-5 says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. We can't do anything by ourselves. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. So you have to let Him lead and guide you. You can't do it within yourself. You can't be self-made. A lot of people say, I'm self-made. You're not self-made. God is the creator. And until you yield to God, you're going to forever be lost. You have to yield to Him. You have to know that He is the one in control. He is the one that gives you the activities of your limbs. He is the one that gives you a voice to speak, ears to hear. Without Him, you're nothing. And until you get that and stop looking within at yourself, you're not going to make it. And I was telling my husband, he's getting off topic, I don't have a problem with where he's going and where he's flowing because everything is to the glory of God. But what I wanted to people to know is, at this time and at every time in your life, we should stop looking horizontally. We should stop looking within. And to do that, you have to realize that things that you're searching for can only be found vertically. Jesus is the power source. Your purpose, your joy, your peace, your hope, all of that is from the Lord. And you can only do that by looking up towards Him. Just like when Jesus blessed the food, He looked up. You have to look up. You can't look within. You can't look to your fellow man to give you the answers. You have to look up. You can only go to Christ. And nothing in creation can give you any of that, because creation was never designed to satisfy our hearts. Only God can do that. If I can't, I think this is my last scripture. Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in His own image. The key word there is God, not you. We are His creation. You're not your creation. You know, parents say, I brought you in this world, I take you out. And I'm like, that saying always got me like, seriously, you gonna say that to your child? Like, God is the one who created and gave you the ability to bring forth that child. And how dare you talk to them like that? I brought you in, I'm gonna take you out. To me, I just thought that was like a rude thing to say to a child. Like, that's threatening to kill them. And it's like, you can't even control yourself. You can't control anything that goes on that God doesn't allow. We can all walk out. We can be out and shopping, having fun, doing whatever. You can have a heart attack right there. You could be driving down the street, car crash. Anything could happen that could alter your life, and yet we still want to act like we're in control. You're in control of nothing, not one thing. So,
can I say something right there?
Sure.
You know, my father said that to me. And I couldn't wait to get of age to say that to my son. I brought you in this world, I take you out. I don't. I think I'm just saying it. I've said it my son, they both Tay died. Yeah, he said it to us. And not, and you know, being a saved father, it's just when you said that, I couldn't wait. Because when my father said it to me, he said it so calm and so cool. I couldn't wait to say it to mine, because what he was telling us, it hit a point. It hit a nerve. As long as I'm living under his roof, as long as I got his last name, until I get a certain age, I'm going to be saved. And like he said, he brought me in, he'll take me out. For some reason, it scared me straight. I didn't want to mess with my father. And I'm quite sure his father told him that too. And you know, but when you talk about that kind of stuff, I can see what you can say, because these fathers today, they just donors. They not, you know, they liable to do some real crazy stuff like that. But anyway, I just couldn't wait to say it when I was. That's just one of the things I used in my repertoire. That was in my holster. It was the bullet I had to use one day. But I just had to get that out. Are you upset with me now?
My acronym that I wanted to give, which I'm pretty sure everybody's heard before, the acronym for the season is JOY. Jesus, others, you. JOY. That's what you should
say that
be going
again.
By. Jesus, others, you. You should be last.
Jesus,
others, you. JOY.
Oh. I'm going to have to use that in one of my sermons. Okay. Okay, I got you now. It just hit home. I'm sorry. I'm just on one of them things tonight where we as Christians, and we that have been in the Lord for a long time, we need to do better in serving him. And it's not about serving ourselves, looking good for ourselves. It's about looking good for the Lord. What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? Or are you just sucking up air? And again, I have a lot of minister friends on. I know they would love to chime in, because they say they've been called, but they haven't been doing anything. And it is like, well, what are you doing? Well, I can't do nothing. And like I said, ministry, preaching, church, all of this starts at home. And if you're not doing it at home, how can you really effectively do it in the church unless you're doing it for show? It's just my opinion, and I could be wrong. But a lot of people show up for church to put on a show. They want to add to the basket that Jesus already blessed with. And that's not what he called us to do. And if you're not preaching and teaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, something is lacking somewhere, because you don't have what Jesus blessed you with. And yeah, I said it. Jesus blessed those two fish and five loaves that everyone can eat. When you go to church, he blessed the place wherever you're going to worship so you can eat. Now, what happens is man put their hand in the bag and added stuff in it, and it's messing everybody up to where it wants to be about self. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to keep saying it until you send it to Jesus to come back. But if you're not preaching about salvation, 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 something's wrong. Everyone want to go to church. Everyone want to be in a part of the hip church where the music is good and the preaching is good, but you can't say what the preacher didn't preach. You ain't living the life that the preacher is teaching you to live. Is nothing. And that's when I'm saying people are adding to it or taking away from it. And if you're not being chastised sometime along the line, something's wrong. There is no perfect child.
You know, I was thinking when you were saying that, I was thinking about Oprah. And you know that you get a car, you know, this motivational speaking where everybody is so happy with the outcome because they're getting something. It's all about self. What if they said, based on the way you living, you going to hell. I mean, what if they just did that and told the truth? instead of just letting people just walk around like everything is okay when it's not.
I'm going to tell you why, and I'm glad you brought that up. I know we're going to go a little over, but we good. We're going to be out in a second. The reason is because hell is real. And the first thing people say, well, Derek, you ain't got no heaven hell to put no one in. And I don't. I don't have a heaven to put nobody in. I'm going to make it to heaven according to what I was taught and what I believe in the Word of God. That's why I know I'm going to heaven. But I also know that the Bible teaches us about hell. He wouldn't teach about it. He wouldn't bring it up unless it was true about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man woke up in hell, period. It's in the Bible. He woke up in hell. He was tormented. And they're going to try to tell Lazarus to go get him some water. Lazarus couldn't help him at that particular time. And you don't hear preachers saying you're going to bust hell wide open no more, because first thing the congregation is going to say, well, you don't know who going to heaven. You don't know who going to hell. It becomes and it's not true. Back in the day when I was coming up, and I'm going to go back there, I'm not that old, 48 years old, about to be 49. It was talked about if you didn't live for Christ, you was going to hell, period. Now you got to be politically correct. You don't hear people talking
about
hell.
As long as you love, that's all you need to do.
As long as you love.
It don't matter what kind of life you live in, just because you love, you'll be okay.
And that's
as long as you're morally okay. Right.
Right. But that's the resistance we get from people. And I'm not going to say you, me, but there's sometimes, well, how do we know he went there? How do you know what he said at his last breath? Well, according to the way he lived his life. Now, I don't know what happened the last 5 minutes. You're right. I don't know. But according to the way this was going on, and you don't hear preachers say you're going to hell. You don't hear it no more. And I'm going to give everyone some homework assignment, because you got all these every preacher got some type of service on. Listen how many times you hear the word hell, and listen how many times you hear the word salvation. Salvation and hell. See how many times you hear it. What you will hear is give, 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 or send me this and I'll send you this, and this is why you'll be blessed. And that's not true. That's not true. You know, there are people pimping the church. And then the people who ain't pimping the church, going to church, they want to go to church and think they're going to go to heaven because they homosexual. Well, if your preacher telling you you're going to heaven because you're homosexual, well, okay, you're right. Derek don't have a heaven and hell to get you in, but I can give you my opinion. You're going to bust hell wide open. You're practicing homosexuality. If you want to be a lesbian, if you want to be a gay man, okay, that's your choice. I'm not going to bash you. I'm not going to say nothing. But there's a good chance you're going to bust hell wide open. Now, I said it.
If you're practicing lying, if you're practicing gossiping, if you're doing all of that, likewise.
You're going to bust hell wide open, period. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Either you are or you ain't. The Bible is simple. He said, I'd rather have you hot nor cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That means you're going to bust hell wide open. And that's not there. That's what the book is saying, but you don't hear this type of preaching preach. Well, I'm going to say it. And Kay, I'm going to say this, and we're going to get ready to get out of here. But I had a meeting with an executive from Disney. And he was talking, and I'm trying to get some sponsorships. I'm trying to, you know, get my chaos talk on the level where I want it to be. And he said, I heard you was an old school preacher. I said, yeah. He said, I like that. He's about 55, a couple years older than me. He said, I wish we could go back to the day we were living in. And he was telling me in so many words, he has to be so politically correct, he can't say what I can say. That's what I got out of the conversation.
What is he doing
what?
It? Okay, I question go ahead.
Well, I don't question it, because he's in corporate America. He can't say what I can say and keep his job.
Well, yeah,
he can't
America
say homosexuals is going, you're going to bust hell wide open. See, he works for Disney. They believe in the red. They believe in that. And what I gain respect is he said he respect where I'm coming from. He wish he could say what I say. Now, this man, he makes a lot of money. He can't say what I can say. When I preach, I can say the truth and leave it alone.
But he's not a preacher.
I'm not worried
he's
about
not a
someone
preacher.
Coming close. Say that again.
Is he a preacher or he's just so
no, 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 no. He's an executive. He's an executive
okay.
at Disney. And as we were talking, and I'm trying to get his sponsorship, the conversation went about what type of preacher was I. Old school. That means back in the day, we didn't tolerate this type of nonsense that's going on in the world today. And because he's in the position where he is, he can't say nothing about gays and homosexuals. He can't say anything about what religion he is or anything like that because he would lose his job. He would lose his career. He would lose his 401k. He would lose his benefits. But I'm going to call it like I'm going to call it. And I'm like, if two men like each other, they're fag. Period.
Okay,
no, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it like you want me to sugarcoat it. I'm not going
to
do
I
it.
I don't want you to
if
sugarcoat
you like,
it, but...
But that's my point. See, that's what needs to
that's
be preached right there.
Sin
it's hard.
Is,
it's to the point,
that's
and it's the truth.
That's not the main sin. That we just focus on that one sin, like that's the only sin that's
no,
going
no,
to send
no,
people
no,
to hell.
No,
when it's those little
no,
sins, that's
well,
going to send
well,
them to hell.
Let me go a little further then. Preachers who don't preach about stuff like that, they going to bust hell wide open too. And the reason they don't preach that kind of stuff is because they're dabbling in it. They're dabbling in it. And not to be funny, they like sausages. And that's why they won't preach
Lord.
Against it. They like it.
All right.
And because they like it and because they won't preach against it, they don't want to talk about it because they know it will shut them down. Because the gay community then took over the church. It's all over. And they know if they get them funny people out, they're going to lose their money. When last time you heard Jake preach about homosexuality? Send me a tape. Send me a copy. I would love to listen to it. What they say
well, you know,
is,
people, they
what
like
they
to please
say
the crowd.
Is,
they please the crowd. They not they people. They
see,
not
what you say when they
do
please the crowd.
Everything that the Lord
okay.
is telling them to do. They're crowd pleasers, and they're not doing. Personally, this is my personal opinion. This is not anybody else's. This is mine. Personally, they're doing what is the popular thing to do. They're not doing what's the right thing to do. It's more popular to get the, like I said before, get the likes, the views, be politically correct. That's popular. Preaching the word of God the way the Bible says, that's not popular for people. It's going to make them think too much about what they're doing with their life. It's going to make them question, am I doing the right thing? Nobody wants to think about doing wrong. They just want to do it. And they don't need nobody up there telling them that they're doing wrong. So they're going to be preaching the popular message, which is all wrong. That's my personal opinion.
It's wrong, but and you and I agree with you. I agree with you, but I'm just going to call it like I see it. Lord put me in position. And can't no one take nothing. I don't have nothing for them to take. And they can't take my salvation. So I can say what I want to say when I want to say it. And the reason I say it, because the Lord has blessed me to say what other people scared to say. And when it comes to either the money or when it comes to the way you live, I'm not talking about whether you wear a skirt or whether you wear pants. That's up your choice. You can do whatever you want to do. That ain't going to put you in heaven. That ain't got nothing to do with it. But the way you live your life, and for you to sit up here and say that God made a mistake and made you to want to be a woman or made you want like a man, that's saying God made a mistake right off the rip. And when you say that, I cannot be in your presence without defending what the Lord is telling me to tell to them. So, yeah, I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to be old school. I don't consider it old school. I consider it to be the right school. And when I say that, it is what it is. So I will challenge, and I have challenged, and I know I'm too old and I got too much other stuff to be challenging people, but when it comes down to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, either you're going to be right or you're going to be wrong. There is no middle. And if you got sissies running around your church operating in full capacity, then to me, y'all going to bust hell wide open. I ain't got to come to your church. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to be a part of it. Now, I'm not saying they're not in the church or spread around in the church. If they come there long enough, hopefully they can get convicted and get saved and be healed from that demonic spirit. That's my prayer. I'm not saying we should close the door and shut them out. That's not what Derek is saying. What I'm saying is we should live a certain life and preach a certain thing. Everything ain't always good. My kids, I love them, but they ain't always good. And sometimes you got to show tough love and whoop them. You don't want to, but you have to in order to teach them right from wrong. When you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to tell the people what thus says the Lord, whether they like it or not. It ain't about I'm not about being popular. I don't care if you like me, you don't like me. And a lot of people won't like me just because they don't want other people to see that they like me. I'm already hip to that. That's why I'm not going to get into numbers with people no more. It's all about serving the Lord, period. That's all I got to say on that. And I hope everyone have a good Thanksgiving. I hope everyone learned something. If you didn't learn something, hopefully you got something you can talk about or you can communicate with and get a better understanding with your local pastors or whoever you want to talk to about. You want to talk to me about it, I'm free. I will talk all day, every day. As you can see, I'm talking now. Probably didn't talk too much. But at the same time, I love the Lord. I'm passionate about what I preach and how I live and who I live for. The Lord has blessed us. We're going all over the place. And here I am. And me and my brother was talking about it today. And he was reminding me they thought I was special in a special way when I was growing up, that I couldn't comprehend how to make it in the world by myself. And I'm having meetings with people from Disney. Now, that don't mean nothing to you or anybody else, but from where I come from and from what I was labeled, I'm a blessed man of God. And I don't have to prove nothing to nobody. But at the same time, I'm not showboating for nobody either. I'm going to serve the Lord the way he wants me to serve him, period. And if you're out here looking for likes, if you're trying to do you, I'm going to do me, boo, however you want to do it. It's all about me, team this, team that. No, it's about living for the Lord, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, doing what the Lord would have you do. And during this time of season, people are hurt, struggling, can't even make it. What are we going to do? If you ain't got nothing to give them, what you could give them is Jesus, and that's free. That's free. And if they say they got Jesus, all they need is some love, you can give them the love of Christ. We all got that in us. If we really want to know, we all got it in us. We may not want to practice it, but we got the love of Christ in us. You can give them that. And that starts at home. Before you start giving money and food and all this other stuff, let's just do the basics. Let's just give the love of Christ to people. And if we give the love of Christ to people, maybe he'll lead you to give them a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more. But we want to just go give them the money and take pictures. Look what I did. Look what I did. As soon as you get mad at them, you want to throw up in your face what you did for them. That's not the love of Christ. So before you start giving your money, anything else, give love first. Because if you give love first and you can conquer giving love first, when you give the money, you'll give it unconditionally. That means you don't want nothing in return. If the pastor never calls my name again, I'm good. Not because I need my name to be in lights or anything. It's kind of uncomfortable. Because people want to, you know how my people is. They want to crack jokes and all this other type of stuff. But it's not about me. I'm just doing what the Lord wants me to do. I'm just a servant. And I'm not going to get no big award or no little award than the next person that's doing the exact same thing. There's someone out there giving a whole lot of love. Can Derek get that love? Can I match them with love? For, you know, now that there's a competition, but I'm trying to get to a point where we can understand that when we're serving the Lord, it's not about a competition. It's about doing it from the pureness of your heart. And that's really all what I'm trying to say. I know I done went over my time. I apologize, but I'm blessed. And every time I'm blessed, I have to give a shout out to the Lord who's blessing me. I'm not perfect. If you hear me talk, oh, he be thinking about these things. I think about a lot of things. Some of it ain't right. But when you serve in the Lord, I can be transparent and let you know the Lord will take over and put you in the right position. I ain't one of them uppity preachers who think everything my stuff don't stink. You know, I'm just not. And I'm not going to pretend to be, but I am a preacher called by the Lord. And I'm going to do it the way the Lord tell me to do it. And some of y'all didn't like the language I used. Well, I tell you what, tell the Lord, tell me to stop. I got them in my family. And I'm not going to act no different at no given time. I'm going to call it like I see it. If you don't want to talk about it, let's talk about football then. But it'll come up. It'll come up because there's some homos in football. I'm going to leave that alone, too. I'm going to leave that alone. Anyway, let me get back. Wife, get ready to close out because I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to be off. I want to thank everyone for listening to D and K Bible Break tonight, to my new listeners in Germany, London. I know I got a good response from my engineer out there. This isn't rehearsed. This is raw. What you get is raw. But we want to thank you for listening to us. We want to thank you for listening to the services on yesterday. I got nothing but good feedback back on it. So I just want to say thank y'all for continuing to bless us and wanting to be a part of doing this. And to my people that's working, putting us through in London and in Germany, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it. And again, tomorrow night, we'll be back on same time, 7 p.m. You got Bishop Omar, First Lady Pamela Zachary from Praise Tabernacle Church right here in Lawrenceville, Georgia. We'll be on with Bible study. If you liked the services yesterday and Thursday night, we'll be right back Tuesday for Bible study with a great team of teachers and elders and deacons and evangelists, and you know, it's been a blessing to be able to use that ministry, that church, that man of God and his family to help us reach people all over the world. I'm going to say it. I thank the Lord for allowing me to be there. And however you want to say it happened, it happened. It was like a plane just going up in the air. It just been going up, 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 up. I can't say nothing but blessing behind what the Lord is doing behind Praise Tabernacle Church. My bishop, pastor friend, Pastor Omar, who preaches the word of God, and he hasn't changed since this whole COVID-19. I ain't known him long, but from the day I met him, in December, he has not changed all the way to almost a year. In a couple of days, he hasn't changed. He's just been preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. He ain't sat down to try to be intelligent yet. He ain't sat down to try to be the bishop of all bishops. He ain't been just preaching because that's what he was called to do, preach the word of God. Preach the word of God, and his elders and evangelists and deacons, preach the word of God. Preach, don't sugarcoat it, preach the word of God. That's why I'm blessed, because I got hooked up. And because I got hooked up, the Lord hooked us up, and then he hooked us up. And you can take that for what it's worth. But tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Praise Tabernacle Church. Again, they're back on Thursday night. You want to see them in action, go to Facebook Live, Praise Tabernacle, Church Lawrenceville, and you can see them live right there on Facebook. And if you got YouTube, just go to Chaos Talk, click on YouTube, Chaos Talk, boom, he's right there as well. You can see the services, you can see praise and worship, see everything. So don't forget about that. Also, on Friday night and Saturday evening, you have the overseer, Timothy Jackson, out of Dallas, Texas. Friday night is Freestyle Friday. Saturday is Spiritual Sense of Life. They're on, so be listening for them as well. Also, you have Elder George Bazaar on Wednesdays and Sundays at 5 p.m. and at 7. 5 p.m. on Sundays and 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. So just keep continuing to bless Chaos. Keep listening. Tell your people about us. Listen, you might learn something. If you want to listen, you want to participate with me and Kay, we're more than welcome to have you come on and we can talk. You want to, I don't want to use the word, you want to have a conversation with me, I'm here to have a conversation with, as long as my wife allowed me to do it. So with that being said, pray for my wife because she has to deal with me. Y'all only deal with me for an hour or so. She got to deal with me all day. So pray for her and her strength in the Lord that she got to deal with me. And I'm a lot to deal with. But I'm real. I ain't phony. I don't fake the funk. I am real. But I love my wife. Amen. She is the greatest help. She is the definition of a wife. I'm grateful for her. There's not words that can describe. I can't even think of anything I can do that will be worth her dealing with me. But we're a good team. I love her. I know she loves me. But that's my heart. So when you come after her, I'm going to have to come after you hard. So you don't want to turn me into Peter, because I will cut you when it comes to this woman right here.
Okay.
I will cut you. So that's right. That's my point.
I don't want you cutting up. But I got two scriptures that I want to. Can I get these last two scriptures out, and then I'll be out of here.
I tell you what, let it close us out. I'm done talking. You go ahead and close us out. I'm done. Everyone, thank you for all those that listen to us. All my sponsors, I just want to say thank you. And again, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Be back. Go ahead, wife. Give the scriptures and go ahead and get a benediction.
You know, actually, I was looking at the countdown on my phone. It's ticking. I'm like, let's see how long it's going to take you to do all of that. But you did good this time. The scriptures that I have, the last two scriptures, I have Proverbs 28 and 26, which says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And then the last scripture I want to share is Jeremiah 17 and 5. Cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. We can't do anything within ourselves. The bottom line is seek God and his guidance. Don't try to do it on your own. You can't look within. You got to look above and look horizontally, vertically, above. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm going to close it out. I just said the wrong direction, but we are going to close out. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for our listeners. We pray that something was said that would prick the heart of your people. We pray that everything that we've done on tonight has brought you joy, and nothing that we did was to edify self. Everything goes to you for your glory. Father God, we pray for the families on tonight that may be going through during this holiday season. They may feel alone. They may have lost a loved one at this time. We pray your comfort and your peace over them right now. We ask that you continue to bless the people that who are going to actually travel during this holiday season. We plead the blood of Jesus over their lives right now. Some people, they may not be able to do anything but go home. So we plead the blood of Jesus over the ones that are going home, the college students that are returning home to their families. We pray that
nothing happens, no harm, no danger. We thank you for everything that you're doing. And we pray that, you know, we not just look at the food that we have on our table. Think about other people. See if there's a family in need that you can sponsor, that you can help, and just guide us and direct us on who we need to reach out to make things happen for other people. As I said earlier, joy is going to be Jesus. Thank you, Father. Others, reach out to other people, and then we are last. You are last. So thank you, Lord Jesus. And just let your will be done in our lives. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Amen.